This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is a little warm today. It's really not too bad, but I'm going to turn on the air conditioner. It is episode 165, and I'm a little hurried today because we are getting together with some friends at 6 o'clock. It is 4:38 now. I have a 20-minute drive home. And then I need to change clothes and then grab my wife and head back in. But we're going to be fine. We got time to get this done. It's going to be fine. I'm just thinking about a few things at the same time. Good week at work today. Got some things done. Ran out of work at one point, but that's okay. I just spent Wednesday at home reading Part 4, which is Book 3 of Grumpy Old Prophets. That seems to be shaping up nicely, and got a chance to start working on the layout a little bit, and so I probably need to spend another two or three days just dinking on that, and kind of honing it down, polishing it up a little more, and I think I'm getting about ready to do a test print on one of them and see how it is, and if that's good, maybe we'll get the beta version out of this pretty soon. Sooner than I was thinking, which would be good because then I can get on to Part 5, Book 4, which will be the last one, and then this series is actually done. I am struggling along to learn new tools at this point because I did buy the Adobe Creative Suite. And so now I'm going to start using those tools to produce my PDFs, which then get uploaded to the company that does the printing for me. And that's always an interesting experience, trying to learn new tools. Because I absolutely know, okay, aligning to artboards is in here somewhere. Where's the button? You know, so, yeah. So I almost didn't use the new tools for what I was doing yesterday because I thought, I'll just go ahead and do it. But the old tools that I have are old enough that I was going to have to go through like three steps to get to where I really wanted to be. And I thought, okay, this is silly. You just need to buckle down and learn this. And wow, the Adobe Creative Suite tools, they are really nice. They are really, really nice. So I just have to learn what they call things and where they put them. Because you definitely can do anything you want with them. But I'm in that process. It's going to be fine. Tonight we are going to have dinner with some friends. I used to work with the wife, and she has since gone on to other things, and she invited another work colleague, so I think we're going to have a great evening. This is going to be terrific. Anyway, so that's good. In other news, let's see, was it last week? No, it was the week before last that Lizzie had her last her most recent performance. So that was fine. Oh, this last weekend was the big garage sale. And that went fine. Everything was fine. We got it all done. Got everything hauled off and taken care of. And it has inspired my wife, and she's been cleaning around in some other areas and getting some things cleaned out. So there's a lot of stuff going on at the house. And my godson, Charlie McDonald, was back. And he stayed with us for a few days, so that was fun. I think he's coming back this weekend to stay with us for a few more. His parents actually live in town, and he's staying with them now. But he did tell me, he said, maybe I'll just come back over here on the weekend. I said, that's fine, buddy. You know, do what you want. So I think he's going to go in and wander back over. And the woman who was staying with us, looks like she's getting things all worked out with her husband, and so that's very cool. So that's nice that that's all working out. I was reading through some news articles, and I came across an article that I agree with. I don't really think much of what was being said there was profound or new to me, but I found it interesting, and so I thought I'd pass along some pieces to you along with my commentary about them, and it concerned being an optimist. And it concerned how that life can be richer if you approach life with the glass half full. The lady who was writing the article, the name of the article, if you want to look it up, was A Richer Life by Seeing the Glass Half Full. The lady who wrote the article was Jane Brody. It was a commentary piece, I think, in the New York Times. And she was actually doing a book review. I'll talk about the book here in just a second. And I thought a lot of the things that the book had to say were very good. And there were a few things that were in her review that I thought, anyways, she had a definition of an optimist, which an optimist is, quote, this is me quoting her, someone like me who plans to get more done than time permits. And having failed to achieve the impossible, someone like me who is sure everything will somehow get done anyways. So that's her definition of an optimist. That's kind of interesting. She said the Mayo Clinic definition is a little more classical. Optimism is the belief that good things will happen to you and that negative events are temporary setbacks to be overcome. I agree with that. That's right. And then she spent a little time, which I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on. She spent a little time talking about how that there have been studies that show that death rates, for instance, are higher,
excuse me,
for pessimists than they are for optimists. There was a study that studied over a 30-year period. And the lady who was writing the article, Jane Brody, thought that maybe that was due to the fact that optimists are more inclined to take good care of themselves. You know, that might be. She does go on to talk about the fact that she's also a realist. But she's found, as I have found as well, that life is a lot more pleasant when one looks on the bright side and believes and assumes that reason will prevail. This is about the time that I thought, well, I don't know if I believe that. Because basically her optimism is founded in the fact that she just decides she's going to be optimistic about things. She just decides that stuff is going to work out and that reason is going to prevail in the end, even though when she looks at the world, she can see there's all kinds of things going on in the world, like economic injustice, wars, and the repeated failure to learn from our history, our gun-crazy society, the over-reliance on tests to spur academic achievement, and attempts to strip women of their reproductive rights. And she believes that reason will eventually prevail, and so from that, she gets an optimistic viewpoint that makes her life richer. And even from that, if you have an optimistic viewpoint, it will make your life richer because, in my interpretation, if you are optimistic, you will probably be leaning towards giving off expressions that are closer to spirit than flesh, because the flesh will tend to make you more critical of things, to make you more complaining about things, where optimism tends to lead you towards actually doing something, not complaining about it, not being overly critical for critical sake, but simply to say, hey, let's see if this is something that we can work on. And that in itself, all by itself, is beneficial in my mind. Whether or not your basic premise for why you are optimistic holds water. And we'll talk about that later. So, pretty much in my mind, no matter how you get to your optimism. Optimism usually is a pretty good thing, unless it's just completely blind optimism, where you're just going, I'm just going to sit here and something good is going to happen to me, because optimism really needs to have feet underneath it. It needs to have action underneath it. And if it doesn't, if you're not acting out your optimism and using it to energize your attempt to find solutions, then it may not do you nearly as much good. But really the foundation of this article was a book written by Susan Sugerstrom, who is a professor of psychology at University of Kentucky. And the name of her book was Breaking Murphy's Law, which I'm sure you know what Murphy's Law is, but Murphy's Law is pretty much the non-optimistic approach to life, which is anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Not that it isn't true sometimes, but it's not always true. The pessimist would say that's always true. I, as an optimist, will say, you know, sometimes things do go wrong, but I had a lot of things that could have gone wrong that didn't go wrong today, so, you know, Murphy's Law isn't necessarily true. But Susan Sugerstrom, however you say her name, did write this book about optimism and how that optimism is a successful life strategy. One of the reasons, she said, is that optimists tend to hit problems head on. That if something doesn't work out, then they back up and they say, okay, fine, let's try it again. I mean, one of the great quotes or great ideas that I always remember when they're talking about Edison is, as an inventor, he just kept trying stuff. No matter how many times he failed at it, he just kept plowing away. Because his idea is that every failure taught him something. It taught him how it's not going to work, and so he could scratch that off and say, okay, it's not going to work that way, so let's figure out how it will work. And I can relate to that, because I certainly have gone through those types of things. The writer of the article talked about an interesting incident in her life concerning this that I can certainly relate to. She said when she was 24, she applied for a job as a science writer at the New York Times. And the interviewer said that she was foolhardy to think that she could be hired after just 2 years of newspaper experience. And she looked back at him and said, if I didn't think I could do the job, I wouldn't be here. Good answer. As it turned out, that's what the guy wanted to hear, and so we put her on, and she started doing research and writing articles, and she said, I love doing it. And when she talked about doing that, I was thinking back to the first music notation system that I wrote, and I was thinking back to when I was thinking about doing it, and someone from a company, when I was inquiring about their music notation system, which was non-existent, but I thought they had something that I could use, when they told me, no, we don't. But the lady said, but if you write a system like that, we'll certainly buy it from you and pay you royalties. And I laughed and hung up the phone, because I had never written a program before. But then, as I stepped back from the phone, I thought to myself, you know, this cannot be that hard. And that's the optimist speaking out. You know, it's like, you know, I think we could figure this out. Let's just give this a try. And that really is the same thing that led me to start my internet service provider business, Granted, I know a little bit about communications, networking, and all those kind of things, but there was a whole lot to learn when it came to building an internet service provider business. But I don't think there was ever a moment along the way when I didn't believe that, yes, I can do that. And if I run up against it and I don't get it accomplished one way, then we'll just turn around and try it another way. You know, my little VaneWorks stand business, granted, that was not a huge success. But I still keep selling one or two here, there, you know, it's fine. And given enough time, I could learn how to turn that thing into being a success. I did not back away from actively trying to push the VaneWorks stand because I thought it was impossible to sell. I backed away because I would rather be writing. Now, in terms of the writing, I have one project that I've mentioned before. It's 24 books long. It's huge. It will take me probably decades to write this series. Do I think I'm going to get it done? Yeah, probably. Will it be the end of the world if I don't get it done? No, that's fine. Do I think that I can come up with 24 books of material all surrounding the same characters and keep it interesting? Yeah, probably. Probably. Give it the old college try. We'll see what happens. Because I'm optimistic about that. I'm not just going to say, oh man, that 24 bucks, are you kidding? Forget it. I'm not doing it. Okay? Because it's a cool idea. So yeah, I think I can get that done. She also talks about in the book that research shows that the parents who bolster children's self-esteem by avoiding criticism and praising accomplishments can encourage them in a lifelong can-do attitude. And while I do think that's true, my optimism is actually birthed out of a little different perspective, and, you know, we'll talk about that some more in just a minute. I just want to kind of go through and say, but yes, it really is important to encourage your children and to praise their accomplishments and to say, hey, good job, you know, way to go. She also talks about the fact that in this book, Susan Sergenstrom, whatever her last name is, however it says, says that sometimes you have to start doing things before you believe that you can do those things. Sometimes you just have to try and work, keep working at it, putting your first foot forward. Excuse me, I am recovering from a cold. And sometimes you just have to act like you're optimistic, and then the optimism will come behind it. And I don't have any problem with that at all. I think that's very good, because as you act like you're optimistic, what you're really doing is listening more to the voice of the spirit within you than listening to the voice of the flesh. And in the process of doing that, you're strengthening the spirit within you. So if a challenge comes up and you're not sure that you can do it, and you're thinking, oh, I can never do that, oh, I can never, well, why don't you try? Just try. See how it works out. And then every time you hear that, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, just keep trying. And at the end of the day, if you find out that, you know, honestly, I'm just not that good at that, and I really don't want to take the time to learn to be good at that, okay, fine, no problem. At least you tried. And what you might find over time is that it is something that you can learn to be good at, and then by accomplishing that, that will help you the next time something comes up that's going to be a challenge for you as well. Well, excuse me. The other suggestion that I guess Dr. Sergumstrom had in her book about being optimistic is that you should take some time to think about the positive things that happen each day. And I think that's very good as well. Take some time at the end of the day. Think about the positive things that happen. Write them down. They said you should write down 3 positive things that happened. And what this does is it helps get you focused on the positive things that are occurring in your life, because normally there really is something positive that's occurring in your life. And what the flesh is doing is it's just focusing you on the negative, and so that's all you see. In this same vein, they mentioned avoiding negative self-talk. And that's just a simple way. My way of saying it is don't listen to the flesh. You know, if the flesh is telling you, oh, you can't do that, you're scum, you're never going to be able to accomplish anything, blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to that. You know, just say, shut up, sit down. Instead, dwell on the positive things that happened in the day and listen for the spirit. I'm getting my mail. And listen for what you can do in any situation to help things. They had some other suggestions on here that I thought were good suggestions. Regardless of the nature of your work, identify some aspect of it that is personally fulfilling. If your job is scrubbing floors, stand back and admire how shiny and clean they look. That's good. You know, say, hey, I did a pretty good job on that. Surround yourself with positive, upbeat people. But be aware that if you are chronically negative and always see the dark side of things, the optimists in your life may eventually give up on you. And that's true too. What was interesting about all this for me is a lot of what they were talking about this, in my mind at least, I'm backing into my garage. In my mind, at least, was asking people to take kind of a blind leap of faith. The author talked about the fact that she looked around, she was a realist, she knew all these problems that were in the world, but she had decided that she was just going to believe that everything was going to work out okay. All right, well, that's fine. The other interesting thing that they were talking about was, where was that? Oh, sorry, I have lost it. I said I would come back to that. By being more, fake it until you make it. I don't know. Anyways, for me, I approach my optimism in a slightly different way because I approach my optimism. Oh, I know what it was. The parents saying to parents, you should praise your children and, you know, that will help them become more optimistic and that will help them have a can-do attitude in life. And for me, when I look back on my sense of optimism, it comes from a couple of different things. It first of all, which some people might say this is a blind leap of faith as well, it first of all comes from a belief that in fact there is a creator, there is a designer that is at work in the universe and that he is in control and everything is going to be okay. One of the ways that this helps me is, for instance, you know, there is some work to do at headquarters, but there's a few gaps in the number of hours that I'm having there. And it would be easy for me to go, oh, I should have been working Wednesday and there was no work to do. Oh, you know, but the optimistic side of me says, well, you wanted to finish up that book anyways, and this gave you a little extra time. So you went home, you worked on it. Ta-da! It's a good thing as opposed to getting all worked up about that and then being all worried so that even when I am working on my book, I can't really think straightly. I can't really think straight. Instead of doing that, just saying, you know what? This is a good time to do this. Let's do this. The rest of it will work out just fine. because I believe God has everything under control and it's going to be just fine. And in fact, this book I'm working on, this Easter story, one of the messages that hits home over and over and over again is there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. It's okay to be optimistic. The other thing that was interesting as I was reading all this was the, you know, approach to parents, that you should praise your child's goals and you should encourage them in that way. And my parents certainly did that. But the one big thing that gave me my can-do attitude in life, I think, was the fact that I watched my parents succeed when they didn't necessarily know exactly what they were doing, but what they would do was they would rely on God to assist them. And seeing that work out day after day really was a marvelous, marvelous resource. It really was an amazing way to grow up, to see my parents being stretched, being placed in situations that they maybe would not have chosen for themselves because they were situations that were uncomfortable for them. But what they were willing to do was to say, you know what, we're in this situation now. Let's go. Let's see what we can get accomplished, and God will help us along the way. And that's why when I got that phone call and I was trying to find out if this system would do music notation, and it wouldn't, and the lady said, but if you write a system, we'll pay you royalties. And I was a musician who knew nothing about programming. That's what led me to say, you know, this cannot be that hard. Because I had watched my parents attack problems and accomplish amazing things, even though they didn't have all the answers when they began. And so, while I think being optimistic just for optimistic's sake certainly is beneficial, I would much rather have someone be a blind optimist than a blind pessimist. I think when you combine an optimistic viewpoint with a belief in a designer who has his hands in the mix and will work with you as much as you give him an opening to do so, you know, I think that becomes the best of all possible worlds, because one of the things that Mary, the mother of Jesus, talks about in this third book is, and even if I die, it's okay, because I just go on to be with Jesus in heaven. So, you know, it kind of holds you in a really good place. And I think Christians should be very optimistic. I think Christians should be risk takers. I think Christians should be gung-ho in attacking problems and trying to find solutions. But they aren't always. And I will leave that to you to think about why they aren't. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.